News Weekly is an ad-free listener-supported podcast made possible by listeners like you. Just go to patreon.com/SammyShah, that's S-A-M-I-S-H-A-H, to support the podcast. Top stories of the week. I pronounce Marchioness of Chumley. Also, TikTok no. All that and more on News Weekly. Hello and welcome to News Weekly, where we punch the news in the headlines weekly. A very English scandal news now. A kill order, claims of a government cover-up, a questionable medical crisis, a missing person, and doctored evidence of their continued existence. Is it A, a story about Navalny, perhaps some new Putin murder, or B, something way, way stupider and less consequential, but it's eating up the headlines as news channels try to grab onto anything that isn't more Gazan children being amputated without anesthesia while Israel continues its campaign of burning the village to save the government. If you guessed option B, then you're in luck, because it turns out Gazans better learn Photoshop if they want to get any more attention from the press. Oh, and try marrying into a royal family, because that shit gets Australian journalists super horny for headlines. Here's the latest crisis in the most inbred family outside of Punjab, set to dramatic music by news channels who want you to know shit is serious.
It's the question that has taken over the internet. Where is Kate Middleton?
Rumours have been swirling all over the internet about her whereabouts.
This is the slippery slope of silence when you don't always share your story.
The palace is in the depths of a PR crisis.
One thing is certain. This situation is a mess, and it was made worse by Kensington Palace and their clumsy moves.
Look, I barely care about this story, but everyone else is obsessed with it, so here are the essential details. Apparently, Kate Middleton was admitted into a private hospital last December. And then, since then, no one's ever seen her. And her husband, the future King of England, hasn't gone to visit her. Which led to all kinds of speculation that she's dead or in a coma. And of course, because it's the royal family, there's a possible affair involved.
Amid the conspiracies surrounding Kate Middleton's whereabouts, another woman's name is also making headlines. Rose Hanbury.
William, Kate, and their fallout with Rose Hanbury.
So who is the Marchioness of Chumley?
That's Marchioness of Chumley, which is spelled Cholomandilly. Cholomandilly. It's pretty much the same way it's pronounced Worcester, but spelled Worcestershire. Worcestershire. So then, who is the Marchioness? Which was a title I didn't even know existed until this story.
Let's rewind 5 or 6 years. Kate and Rose were said to have been best friends. Their husbands, William and David, the Marquess of Chumley, were also very close. The couple lives just 3 miles from the Wales' summer home, Anmer Hall.
Anmer Hall is 100 miles from London. It's where the couple took the children to just days after Princess Charlotte was born, and really where they've stayed ever since then.
But in 2019, rumours began swirling that the two women were no longer friends.
There was a story circulating about Kate falling out with her friend Rose Hanbury. Again, you saw the palace go into that firefighting mode to protect the Duchess.
That's when tabloids began questioning whether Prince William and the former model were having an affair.
Just those rumours themselves were going to have enough impact negatively on William's reputation. We still see them trend on Twitter on a regular basis.
However, no substantial evidence has come to light proving those claims.
All of which means he definitely had sex with the Monster of Chocolate, or whatever her title is. You know what? All of this would be a lot easier if kings of England were just allowed to kill their wives and remarry whoever they wanted to. It's what Charles did, after all. Still, all of this is just theory. Conspiracy theory, in fact. All so ridiculous that even Andrew Bolt doesn't understand why it's being covered.
But tell me about Catherine, Princess of Wales. Look, Patrick, I've covered this for a couple of days. I'm struggling to see why this is such a worldwide scandal.
I mean, maybe if you can't see why it's such a scandal, stop covering it every day. This news, it keeps happening to me. I'm powerless to stop it. And then the royal family decided enough is enough and shared evidence that Kate Middleton is fine.
The royal account posted this picture and oh boy. The caption read, "Thank you for your kind wishes and continued support over the last 2 months. Wishing everyone a happy Mother's Day and signing off with a cheerful C for Catherine." Surely that's going to keep everybody happy and leave questions about the princess's health answered, right?
Surely, right? Right, Channel 7 voiceover guy, right?
Wrong.
Damn it.
So the major press agencies right around the world have pulled that Mother's Day photo, saying it's been manipulated at the source.
So for one, where's her wedding ring?
Appears to be a glitch on the left arm of Princess Charlotte.
What you can see is half of her sleeve has started to blend with her skirt.
This hand has been altered dramatically or been replaced.
Charlotte's skirt is off, her hair is off. Kate's jacket zipper looks weird.
Everyone knows it's winter, so those plants would not be in season.
The picture was so clearly photoshopped, a kill order was issued by the Wires that it could no longer be published as it was too inauthentic. All of which leaves a mystery still unanswered. Where is Kate Middleton and what's up with her chin?
It's seemingly Kate Middleton being driven by her mum in a black Audi near Windsor Castle. And it's safe to say that Kate looks different, particularly her chin.
Why is Prince William signalling he might be single again?
William also used his solo monogram at the top, which he used to use before he was married.
Did he have an affair with the Marmalade of Chumbawamba? And most importantly, what do the Sky News Brain Trust, that is Rita Panahi and Douglas Murray, think about all of this?
What do you make of this bizarre story?
I can't understand it at all, Rita. I have to admit, I can't understand it at all. Maybe you can explain it to me. I just don't get it.
You know what? For once, we agree. TikTok bans are so trending right now. The generation gap has always led to conflict, with the old and the young never quite understanding each other. It's led to such intergenerational cliches as "get off my lawn" and "turn down that noise you call music" and "they keep beating me up and stealing my medication at this aged care facility you stuck me in." Never has this gap in perspectives between the elderly and youth been more evident, however, than the current attempt by the US Congress to ban TikTok. Or as they call it, the thing the young people do with their swiping and their dancing and their tight, tight booty shorts that keep appearing on my phone no matter what I do to stop it. The average age of Congress is 64 years and the average TikTok user is under the age of 24, which means this is going to end up with us Gen Xers getting screwed again somehow.
Well, it could be the beginning of the end for TikTok. Today, the House of Representatives passed a bill that could ban the popular app.
The concern for the US government is that TikTok is owned by the Chinese government, which could then be harvesting all the data from its millions and millions of American users while also exerting influence on them. And look, I think it's fair to say that these days the average American can be influenced by anything written on a bag of saturated fats. But there is some cause for concern.
A contact, they collect also the contents of your direct messages, the videos that you watch and how long you can watch it. Also, they estimate your income. Your location is also gathered. This information is a very valuable information.
TikTok has said it doesn't do anything with that information, so stop worrying about it. And besides, it's time for you to take your daily nap, which you do every day at this time, before waking up and texting your mum to say you need more money and then scrolling through your ex's old photos for half an hour while you cry. It then showed just how it doesn't try to exert any influence on its users by exerting influence on its users.
On the morning of that vote, TikTok delivered a push notification and a pop-up to thousands of users across the country. They used geolocation data targeting minor children to then force them to call congressional offices in order to continue using the app. And in doing so, these children called and they asked the question, what is Congress and what is a congressman? This influence campaign illustrates the need for this bill.
I mean, it also illustrated the need for better education on civics in the American schooling system. Young people, meanwhile, have rallied around the app, saying they rely on it to learn about such important things like how to file your teeth down with a nail file because they have too long teeth, putting Gorilla Glue on fake eyelashes which causes blindness if it leaks, cooking chicken in NyQuil which creates tear gas, licking toilet seats, eating Tide Pods, applying pressure to their chests while holding their breath until they pass out, throwing metal ladders into the air to see who gets hit, setting themselves on fire while being filmed, overdosing on Benadryl to get a temporary high, jumping in front of cars and trucks to force them to brake at the last second, and smashing their cheekbones with a hammer so they can have a more chiseled jawline. All of those were real trends on TikTok in the last 3 years. So unless TikTok owner ByteDance sells their platform to an American company, or until the Chinese government can create a series of shell companies that secretly owned whichever American company will end up in charge, the pressure is likely to continue. Meanwhile, in Australia, questions have been raised as to why we also cannot ban TikTok, given that we do everything America does right after it does it, like a pathetic echo. After all, we've known TikTok is stealing Australian data for ages, as seen in this news clip from 1 year ago.
Social media giant TikTok has confirmed its Chinese staff are able to access user data from Australia.
Now that the ban seems likely, Australians can feel safer knowing that their data is safe from the Chinese government and only accessible by the Americans through Facebook and Instagram, Elon Musk through X, whoever owns all those various dating apps we're usually getting laid on, and of course the Chinese government and all the phones we're using that were built there. Unraveling Australian aid news now. Sorry, I tried for a pun, it didn't work. With the start of Ramadan this week and Israel committed to displacing 1.4 million Palestinians in the southern city of Rafah by directing them towards humanitarian islands, quote-unquote, in central Gaza, which will definitely go very smoothly and won't result in mass deaths through rioting, sniper fire, tank shelling, bombing campaigns and ongoing starvation, Australia is continuing to prove that while it has minimal relevance to the war, it will do everything possible to annoy everyone on every side of the conflict. First, 2 months ago, the Australian government suspended funding of UNRWA, the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestinian Refugees in the Near East.
Israeli intelligence has reportedly produced evidence that shows the UNRWA staff providing use of its vehicles and facilities. The allegations are being investigated, but Australia, along with 8 other countries, has immediately suspended funding for the agency.
The funding suspension was seen as a problem by some critics because UNRWA is still one of the only organisations with resources on the ground to distribute food and aid to Gazans. However, the evidence Israel provided must have been truly damning to convince Foreign Minister Penny Wong. After all, Israel does believe in innocent until proven guilty, especially since Israel was claiming 12 UNRWA employees were involved on October 7th out of the 30,000 it currently employs. Except 1 month after suspending the funding, Penny Wong admitted Israel had not shown Australia any of the evidence, and Channel 4 in the UK, which had seen the evidence, described it as flimsy, all of which meant that 2 months after crucial life-saving funding was cancelled,
Australia will restore funding to the United Nations Aid Agency in Gaza, UNRWA, almost 2 months after it was paused.
So, what changed? Here's Penny Wong.
The best available current advice from agencies and the Australian government lawyers is that UNRWA is not a terrorist organisation and that existing and additional safeguards sufficiently protect Australian taxpayer funding.
So hang on, you didn't think to check with those lawyers and agency and safeguards before suspending millions of dollars of funding to a war zone that could keep people alive? You must feel pretty guilty.
Australia will also provide an additional $4 million to UNICEF to provide urgent services, including for women and children, and $2 million to the new mechanism of the UN Senior Humanitarian and Reconstruction Coordinator for Gaza to facilitate expanded humanitarian access into Gaza.
All right, let's call that a mea culpa payment. Still, it's bad form for a government to change its mind after taking such a bold stance. What does it think it is, ABC Radio Management hiring a Lebanese-Australian presenter in Sydney? You gotta have more consistency, Australia. Don't just flip-flop around with people's lives. Still, at least Australia is trying to help by giving out temporary visas to some Gazans who make it here.
Palestinians who fled Gaza bound for Australia on tourism visas are again destitute after discovering at the airport their visas had been cancelled.
Well, that's not good because we know what happens to refugees who don't have access to flights and visas. In fact, it just happened again.
At least 60 people are reported to have died trying to cross the Mediterranean from Libya.
So if they try taking boats, they drown. If they catch a plane with a valid visa, the visa will get cancelled. And if they stay where they are, the organisation giving them food and water and medicine and shelter will have its budgets cut. You know what? Maybe don't help, Australia. You're just making it worse. That's it for this week's edition of News Weekly. As always, if you like the podcast, head over to iTunes, do the liking and the subscribing and the commenting and all of that stuff. Otherwise, I'll see you right back here next week on News Weekly, where we punch the news in the headlines weekly.